You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Masters of Sex After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip.
And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Masters of Sex After Show.
You and me, let's talk about all.
Hello. Welcome, everybody. Tonight, we have a special treat for you. We are reviewing the Masters of Sex Season 1, Episode 10. But we have a beautiful and most delicious guest, Helena York.
Woo!
We're so excited. She plays Jane. She plays Jane on Masters of Sex, and I've got lovely Roya.
Yes.
Roya.
I don't know. I just wanted to say yes.
Yes. Keep it.
Yes.
Anyways, Roya was amazing in talking Helena into coming into our show tonight, so thank you.
Just
so
bribed
much.
Her with some candy, you know.
I have not received candy.
But ginger ale. All right. So, everyone, what did we think about tonight?
Juicy.
Yeah. Lots of drama. Helena, what did you think?
This was my favorite episode that we did all season. And I think that because it exists within a 24-hour period, you do get all that action-packed thing, and they are dropping all these bombs.
I know.
Literally and figuratively.
I know. This episode is called Fallout, but I feel like it should have had something more bomb-alicious. Or something.
Because there were bombs all over the place.
So let's get into this episode. We first open up with it looks like the episode started a few weeks after. It looked like 3 or 4 weeks after the last episode, which it's hard to tell when they do the timeline. But Ethan and Virginia are going strong.
How do we like that?
I like it. Yeah.
You didn't like that?
Okay, here's the thing. I'm a team, you don't know this yet, but I'm team Virginia and team Masters. Like, we had to go categorizing into teams or relationship-wise.
We have no idea why, by the way.
God, it's like so Twilight of you.
I know. I'm like, what are they called?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, the Twihards are people that are...
Can I take my name away from that now? Like, it's done a lot worse than I thought. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I've always wanted them to be together, and when Ethan was... in the bed, just sitting there like he's the father of the children, when he put them to sleep early by 8 so he could stay the night to get sleepover privilege. I mean, I love him.
I think it's cute. He's helping her out. He's representing something to her. He's bringing more into her life. She's feeling like she's getting supported. As opposed to just getting used.
I was hoping to see some sex, but that's okay.
This was a sexless episode.
This was sexless, and... but it was nice to see him unzip her dress. I want to have my dress unzipped.
Do you have one of those kind of dresses?
That was literally the first thing that came out of your mouth. It's right at the beginning of the episode.
I was like, it was so sexy.
I'm sure you've had your dress unzipped, you little sex minx.
Not lately. Such a lonely girl. Okay. But I kind of like the dynamic because I feel like there's a security and there's a safeness with Ethan, and I liked how they were talking the medical terminology together, and he was kind of helping her, and they have a different kind of relationship than it was in the very beginning, where it felt like it was just sex based. You know, it seems like he's genuinely crazy about her, and I love a nice guy.
I loved him and Vivian together.
And I think that he probably learned how to be that kind of person from Vivian. That experience, and has gone out and sown his seeds, and now he knows that that's what he's actually after, but with a more adventurous person.
Right.
Sort of the idea that we don't have to necessarily have boring sex lives and have stable lives at the same time.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily have to go hand in hand. I hope so.
No, I kind of like it. It gave me a warm and fuzzy feeling. It would have been really nice to see somebody get naked and have sex, but that's okay.
Okay. We've given you plenty of that. Yeah. You're welcome.
You're welcome, by the way. You have been like the sacrificial lamb of this show.
Certainly was.
You've got the most naked time, don't you? You have to have the most naked time.
I think Lizzie has the most naked. Well, oh, though I don't know. You might be right.
I think you've got the most naked time.
Yeah, I kind of have a lot of, I did get a lot of naked time.
All right.
Well, Jenna's like all about that. She's like, yeah.
Naked boobs.
Thanks, Jenna.
Big fan. How did you, I mean, I, you know, since we have you here, I kind of want to talk, you know, if things come up, I want to talk to you about your experience on the show, too.
Of course.
We have to ask, you know, I know that there was a skeleton crew there, but how did you warm up to being so naked all the, you know, I mean, I feel like it was awkward sex, too. It wasn't, you know, passionate, be sexy. It was kind of, you know.
I think it's generally sort of always awkward, even if it is passionate sex that you're doing. I mean, certainly the first sex scene that I did do in this show was for the pilot, which was Teddy and I, and it took us 2 days of getting everything together because we didn't quite know how to deal with those wires yet. All of them were popping off of us, and it was just kind
and
of
did
a
did you
mess.
Have, like, privacy patches on, or were you really
you wear
naked?
A modesty patch, and but, you know, it's a sticker. It's a sticker, and, you know, you're getting sweaty, and you're like, I might as well just not deal with this. But, it's nice to know that you're not all out there. But it's definitely one of those things. I remember the first day I did it, you know, when I got the job, knowing that that was going to be a part of it and getting to set and sort of think your internal monologue is, I have to be naked for this job. I have to be naked for this job. I'm at today's the day I'm getting naked. I'm getting naked today. Today's the day. And then you're on set, and you're like, I'm doing it. I'm naked.
I'm naked. I'm naked. Just like,
internally. And then on the outside, you're like, yeah, sure. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, like, oh, my God.
Now, is this your first time doing a naked scene or being...
Yeah, it wasn't the first time I had done, like, a sex scene, but the first time I had done it was for MTV, so they don't show anything.
Yeah.
And, but being intimate with somebody for work, especially since you kind of, you're kissing and it's happening, then they're like, cut. You're like, oh. You know, can you imagine an actual experience?
No, I can't. For me, I can't.
Like, but I don't...
When I go into my hot phase, I black out. I can't. I don't know how I would stop.
It's not to say that, you know, I was like some predator on set making out with them, but, you know, it was definitely like you sort of, a really odd halt.
I love it. Okay. All right, back to the show. We'll keep going back and forth. So Ethan gets rejected this episode from getting his staff position at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they're... I have a feeling that they might turn that around some way, and he's not going to go. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I definitely think, unless he doesn't sign on for the second season or there's some kind of contract reasoning outside, but I think he's going to be sticking around for as long as the show goes on, that character.
I think so. I mean, everyone knows I think he's fine. But
yeah. At first, I thought maybe it was Barton just being, you know, a father figure. And then he made a really valid point that it was his performance. Like, he failed his performance, and then it led back to Dr. Masters. And, of course, it went to the whole baby, that's why.
Yeah, you know, it was so surprising to me because 4 weeks had, or 3 or 4 weeks had lapsed, or a few weeks, or an unknown amount of time. And he was so upset. I really thought that it was him sleeping with Virginia. And I was really surprised to find out that it was Libby. But I also feel like that correlates back to Virginia. However, you know, I feel like there's also, we always talk about kind of a ghost script going on in the show that, you know, things we're always having to kind of read between the lines. And I think that this is one of those things. It's like Libby got pregnant. That should be good. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't because he felt guilty and he had feelings for Virginia.
Yeah.
Is that what you guys got from that? Or
I don't know. I think a lot of it highlights Masters' own pride in his work and his, I mean, you know, to be a dude with a low sperm count is,
shooting blanks. Yeah. What did he call him? Shooting blank asshole?
Like, yeah. His asshole blank shooting husband or something like that.
Yeah.
He was like, go even.
I don't know. I think it plays into Masters' weakness of his hubris being wounded and then, I think, overstepping bounds. And I think that Masters has really complicated feelings about becoming a father and to have that sort of done behind his back. But it sort of exposes another one of his flaws, which is not being on the same page as his wife and his lack of closeness there and, you know, what he's getting away from home.
at work.
And I feel his issue with control definitely played in that, because Ethan was the one that did it, and instead of Masters being the one having control over the whole situation, you know, being...
I'm guessing during this time, the test tube baby procedure was so brand new. Did Dr. Masters teach him that, or did he just go on his own? Did he not think Dr. Masters was going to find out?
It was the capping method that I think was the thing that Dr. Masters pioneered and was something that he did pass on to Ethan. It was the capping method of which is what got her pregnant the first and now second time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I did read in the book, or I read online about the book, that they had two test tube babies together in real life, but I didn't know if the first one was still counted as, you know, I don't know if they had two children or if it was just one because they lost the first one. I wasn't
sure. Ended up with two children.
Two children.
Historically, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah, it was crazy to see him so upset, but I agree. He's got mixed feelings about being a father and in general. Probably
and you sort of, just another thing just makes you just hate him, that he can't just be happy and, or that she would even have to do it behind his back, that she was even driven to that. So you sort of feel for her. And
that goes back to my whole Virginia and Masters thing, where I feel that he just doesn't want to be with Libby, and I feel if she can't have a child, then maybe she will push him away, and then they can separate, and he can have his feelings for Virginia, like how we're talking about the guilty feelings that he has.
But I do feel like he's very much so in love with Libby still. Like, I think he has feelings of love for her.
Well, just like Barton, I think, has feelings for
Margaret.
Oh,
yeah.
So he's got gay feelings for her.
No, you know what I mean. Like, you know,
he's
Barton
like
doesn't.
A feelings. Best friend.
Will and Grace moments.
Okay, speaking of babies, this episode was bomb after bomb after bomb, and this never crossed my mind about a participant actually getting pregnant.
Yeah. I loved when that happened when we did the table read. It was that was such a great idea, especially because it was Langham's kid, and you see his card come out of the file, and it's all beaten up and clearly been used many times. He's such a dog.
Yeah. But my thing that I thought was really interesting is that one of the lines, he goes to Dr. Masters being worried about himself. Is this going to get out? All this information, because my wife's dad is an ex-cop. So he's more worried about that versus he's still going around sleeping around with other people.
Well, he's an inherently selfish, care, you know? 1950s dude who doesn't want to take responsibility.
So I thought that was a really interesting characteristic thing that they brought out with him.
Well, he has really interesting behavior patterns, right?
So mommy issues.
He found out about that. And it rattled him. And usually he leaves his affairs, you know, it sounded like his wife knew about his affairs last episode, Some Girl Will Be Crying, or two episodes ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is over. It doesn't sound like he revisits after he goes there, but something made him revisit.
That's true. Margaret,
I think
that's a good point.
Maybe it does play into what you said, his mommy issues, to go revisit with her, because that's where he feels comfortable supported and adored, obviously, because she's got it going on for him.
I know. And so she's swimming. They're having this conversation, and it seems more platonic this time than it does sexual. Although she gave him a look when he started undressing. I thought there was going to be sex.
You thought he was going to cut to it and then...
One-track mind, Jack. Come on. Keep it together.
No,
I wonder what she would do if she was watching the show alone.
I know.
Just kidding.
I'm uncomfortable. I'm violated by your enthusiasm.
I haven't gotten that before, but thanks. Okay, that which leads me to Margaret now.
Yeah, and why she was swimming.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why she was swimming was because she found out that her husband is gay. I don't think that ever crossed her mind.
I love how when she was describing it to the hook or the whore, you know, this is, he likes it from behind, he does this, he likes doing that. She goes, he's queer. She just didn't understand where she was going with that.
But
it was just fun. Everything she was listening to was exactly, think outside the box. Yeah, there you go. And then the whole three phases she went through were she laughed, and then she was just like upset when she realized it.
I can't imagine that. Can you imagine?
I
couldn't, because I feel like my gaydar is so on.
But mine is jumpy.
At best.
At best. I am not good.
Good luck, Jenna.
Just adds to... Anyways, she was, you know, I feel like when you are starved in a relationship for sex, when you have a mixed desire relationship where one person is high desire and one person's low desire and you have a mix, that one person with low desire actually controls the relationship and the high desire feels like this, you know, person that needs too much and burdened and, you know, like I just, you know, they're the ones that get starved and they're the trouble, you know, they're the ones not getting enough. It's sad. And I think that it does terrible things to your mind to be that high desire person and to constantly be rejected by the low desire person. But to find out on top of that, that there's a sexual orientation issue and that they're actually not attracted to you at all, mm-hmm. to, you know, that's got to do even more to your mind. Like, mm-hmm. what is it about me? Did I turn this person gay? Was this always the issue? You know, I feel, you know.
Do you think she's going to go down that pathway of thinking, what was it that I did? Or do you think she's going to try and figure it out with him that maybe from the start, that's how he's always been and she's just been blind to it?
I think also there's issues. I mean, I think beyond that, I think also the understanding of homosexuality at that time was so limited. Mm-hmm. And so because she could not possibly understand even the, you know, depths of what that actually meant or was, mm-hmm. you know, is probably going to play into complications.
I feel like, unfortunately, she's going to have to go through
this. You're like, I want to tell you, but I can't.
I can't tell you about stuff.
You're like, but I'll hint.
Like, they'll drop down, someone will kill me. Yeah. It's really dangerous. Dangerous.
It's like a secret
stuff.
Agent life, you
it
know?
Is. I live a secret agent life.
Awesome. Just one of the many characters you have to play.
Yeah, in life.
no, I think that that is, I think that unfortunately she's going to have to go through that very human and typical track, which is blaming herself. Was it me? What could I have done? Was it always this way? And beating herself up. I think that's unfortunately her path.
Well, the fact that she took swimming as a way to try and figure it out was a good way to go. I mean, like, she could have gone a different route, drinking a lot to kind of figure it out and wait mm-hmm. for him to come home. But instead she went and thought it through. In that way, to release it.
Well, and it sounded like she was almost toying with the idea of divorce when she was talking to her friends about it, because she was...
And that was even before she found out, too.
That was before she found out. She was thinking in her head, as they were stating that one of their friends had been divorced in that time, you know, and that if the husband strays, the mm-hmm. wife pays.
Yep.
Can you believe that? To have that be the
even,
way?
I cannot even imagine it. It's hard to even hear that, because it's, you know...
Yeah.
But it was hard. It was hard. I feel like divorce is still very difficult for people. So to have yeah. that.
I don't know. I think it sounds awesome.
Should just no. go out and do it. You know? Just pay all that money. Let's do it, guys. Let's go get divorced. It's fun.
Yeah. So anyway, so then we go, and I thought it was interesting, the growing relationship between Dr. DePaul and Virginia mm-hmm. when they started under with the bomb stimulation or simulation.
Stimulation.
Freudian slip.
Why was there no sex in this episode? It's
coming back.
Makes her go crazy.
Bleeding out. So, stimulation. They were kind of, she was almost getting advice from Virginia, and then it seemed like she used that advice, tried curling yeah. her hair, tried wearing lipstick, and it totally, you know, she
flatlined.
Well,
what I thought was interesting about that scene, actually, sorry to interject, is that, and I don't think I realize this even, because it doesn't seem like she's hitting on him at all, but the fact that the provost's assumption about this woman talking to him and wanting to talk to him about cervical cancer was that she was hitting on him.
She just did another, say drinks.
Yeah, but yeah. it's just
when
another
I am
example.
Flirting, I talk about drinks.
Well, yes, but you know, to be like, you know, oh, if a woman's going to dabble in cancer, it would probably be cervical. And just to think that, she, you know, if she's talking to him, obviously she, you know, is yeah. hitting on him. It's just like, well, come on, dude.
And I like her rebuttal to being the, and breasts, because we have two of them, too.
Yeah.
Which is great, but.
But, it, I mean, that's, you know, we all get pap spheres. Pap spheres? We all do it now every yeah. 2 years, you know, and to imagine that time that it wasn't done. And
yeah,
you
know. And then to actually have cancer and wanting to get it cured
yeah.
and taken care of.
I mean, now you can get vaccinated before the age of 26, and mm-hmm. boom, you're, I mean, the change in that has been considerable.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Thank God.
Very true. Thank goodness.
I really like the shot of them under the table. I thought that was a unique way of, they didn't have to go under the table. They could have had the conversation somewhere else, but they chose to do it during the whole nuclear war simulation. And I just thought that was a great shot.
Yeah.
Like filmmaking wise, that was a really awesome.
Speaking of all the bomb simulations, I think that it brought an interesting relationship between Jane and Lester. We saw a kiss. What do you think was going on there? I'm glad that she apologized.
Yeah.
Because she, like, totally humiliated him.
But now, was that just to cover up for the for her being in a science subject and to avoid questions of it? Or was it to avoid hanging out with him?
I think it was probably both. I think he was exposing her, and I think it was also probably embarrassment of association with kind of a dweeb.
Yeah.
And then I think that he surprises her by saying, if it was the end of the world, I would kiss you. And then he kisses her, and she likes
it. There was always that like tension between the two when he was filmmaking too. The little door, like why did I say twerking? I just want to no. When
has
they're
a way of working its way. Yeah.
With their chemistry together, like they were kind of flirty back and forth ish. Like he was taken back because he's not used to being that close to a girl, but you know Jane was still very flirty with him, and there was just like that good connection between them. No, I mean obviously you're there.
I also think Kevin Christie is a total genius. So
he's
really funny and awesome and a great comedian amongst other things. And anyways, he's dope as shit and he's awesome, and that's why that exists. Yeah.
No, I loved it. I loved his last line. I think it was last episode where they were all at the table and the mother had asked him, do you have sex? He goes, oh, no, I masturbate for sure. And he goes, oh, no, not here.
Yeah.
He's like, at home.
Yeah.
I was like, he's cute. I'm glad they have him.
Yeah. I really hope that that relationship between Jane and Lester grows into more, because I did like Jane and Austin together, but like, he is attached and he is married.
Yeah, and
he's got his own little mommy issues.
Out. He was getting called out. Mm-hmm. Thank God. But yeah. You know,
but
she's got a brain.
I feel like Jane is an intellect though, and I think that's why it worked with Lester. You know, because there was that intellectual massaging that happened there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think she was like, okay. I'll let this go on.
But isn't that also interesting to have your brain? I feel it's so funny. People are like, when you start dating somebody, like, oh, is he hot? Is he hot? Or whatever. And I mean, Kevin's very cute and everything. But I think also to be attracted to somebody based on their mind is so much more powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They call that a sapiosexual, someone that's attracted to other people by their intellect.
Ooh. Yeah.
I hope many men
that's my jam. It's good. Show me your brain. Let's make out.
I'm filled with fun facts. Men, come to me.
Fun facts.
Like sapiosexual.
I know. I love that. I've never heard that before.
My Facebook.
Is that like a thing that you have to be? You can't be both? You can be both, but is that a specific
just
person?
Just someone that's aroused by intellectual people.
Who isn't aroused by intellect?
Me.
Some people aren't.
Hello.
You know, I'm
just dumb people.
I've seen a lot of guys that are just aroused by hot women. That's it. Brain does not matter. I think brain really matters for women. And I'm not going to go ahead and, you know, whoop out any statistics. That's just my own personal opinion, okay? It's not a fun fact. It's a Jenna fact.
It's a Jenna fact.
Thanks, Jenna.
TM.
I've learned something new.
So, but yeah, I think a lot of men are just like, you know, when you talk to men, they're like, she's so hot. And what else? That's it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they grow into it, though. Or they meet somebody that they're kind of like, oh, damn.
Mm-hmm.
You make me want to be a better man.
Aww. Aww. Speaking of better men.
I like your little tie-in that you're going with.
I think that Dr. Masters is struggling with being a better man.
Oh, definitely. He's going complete opposite now.
And with Virginia quitting, which was a huge bomb, and I'm so glad that she pulled that trigger on her own, because I cannot wait to see how he, in his own master's ways, asks her to come back, or how they get back together, you know, get their working relationship
back.
For
the team masters in Virginia? Is that what you're leading to right now?
Okay. Yes. We know at some point they're going to end up working together again, I'm just curious to see how that goes, if we're going to see an emotionally more available side of him, or he's going to have to get vulnerable.
We'll see.
That's true.
I feel like the previews didn't give us anything.
No. We'll get into that, though, for the predictions part.
Yeah.
But Virginia quitting, and then she moves on to work with Lillian, is a huge duo, women duo, to get that. I think they're going to pull it off.
Girl power.
To get fundraising for her research. They're gonna own that shit. They're going to get it.
What are your thoughts on, what she did? I mean, I feel like she totally called him out.
Yeah.
Flatline, like, hey, this was an affair. Mm-hmm. This had nothing to do with science.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I mean, that was pretty intense.
Which means she was admitting to it to them.
But the fact that she fully is like, you were emotionally attached to me.
Yeah. No,
he's a dude. Like, bah, 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 bah.
I love the way he acts out. He's like, are you finished? Because it's so awkward being called out.
Yeah, I think everything she said was what we were all thinking when we watched the last two episodes. When we just repeat that stuff, like, this is an affair. What are they doing? There's more attachment to it. She finally just said it. It's like in a horror movie when you're, don't go in there, don't, and they actually said it, you know.
It's like the stuff that you wish you could do in real life. Don't you wish you could call those people and be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I know what you're doing. It's dumb. But we can't do that.
Yeah, we keep talking about how we want to, like, just text them and be like, Libby, get the hell out of that house. He doesn't love you. He loves Virginia.
Yeah, don't you wish she had girlfriends like us? I'd be such a good girlfriend to her. I'd be like, dude, separate beds. Yeah.
Bananas. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Cut that shit out.
I know. Well, the provost and his wife, they sleep in separate rooms. Yep. I'm like,
that should have been a red flag right away. But, hey.
You know what is kind of interesting? Tonight we got to see his room for the first time.
That's true.
And his room was such a, it almost looked like a child's room. It didn't, I mean, her room, she has like a canopy, she's got like dark wood. I mean, it looks very,
her room was kind of depressing though.
Because there's no sex?
Maybe that's
like
what
a
it
Victorian,
represents.
But gorgeous, opulent.
Yeah, and it's white and it's kind of clean, you know, like the sheets are bright. And then you go into his and it's dark and the sheets are dark and it's.
Looks like a bad motel room.
It does.
Yeah.
A shiny motel room.
Also,
that's my little input there.
I also thought that it was interesting.
Intelligence. Nope.
Good job.
Thank you for trying. And then she sleeps with his.
Nobody's going to be attracted to you for your intellect.
Damn.
Well, nobody's going to have brain crushes. I don't know. That was mean.
Man.
That was not.
It's true. It's cool.
Okay. But she,
and awkward. I'm just kidding.
It's not awkward. Okay. So moving along. She was sleeping with his jammies, though. Like, I thought that there
was... She missed him.
I thought that was her kind of way of letting go.
Letting go or missing having him?
I think she missed him and almost, like, accepted the situation at that time.
Did she sniff the pajamas or...
She was...
She just embraced it.
Snuggling the pajamas.
Okay. I wasn't sure there was
Which
a sniffing.
Was
I'm sure there was, like, a bit of a olfactory. Whoa.
I see what you did there.
I think I said it right. I'm not sure. Anyway, but yeah.
But she also, I feel like she felt bad in that situation for him, too. You know, like, she felt bad. She was, you know, I don't know, coming to her closure,
well, because I think it's like when you hear about people who are in arranged marriages, people who grow to love one another even when those feelings aren't necessarily there. And I think that love is there. Just, I feel like love is between Libby and Masters.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just...
It was a very interesting show.
It was a lot to take in for that episode.
A lot. I'm just so curious to see how it's going to play out with Virginia quitting and how long she'll end up working for Dr. DePaul. Because she can't just flip back and forth. You know, she's got to own what she did with Dr. DePaul and stand by her. Unless Dr. DePaul dies. We know she's sick.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't want to flat out say it like that, but we know she's sick.
You want her to die? Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh, okay. I'm just saying we know she's sick. I didn't want to be harsh in saying that, but, you know, I'm just curious to see how this is all going to unfold in the last two episodes.
Yes, there's only two more. That's crazy.
I know.
That is crazy. It feels like it would be, I don't know.
Well, no. So
I did it. I don't. Like, what? That's amazing. Oh, I was there.
You were there. You were there in so many episodes. Everyone except for episode two, right?
I think it was. I was in episode two after the pilot, and then I wasn't in a couple of them because they were the brothel and everything.
Oh, the brothel.
So I think it's. I think it's actually three and four.
Oh, okay. Because I was about to say you're probably one of the closest reoccurring actors, actresses on the show, you know, because you're, you know, very prevalent in it.
So now, can we ask, will you be on for season two? Or are we not allowed to talk about
it? I don't know.
You haven't signed anything?
I don't know, you guys.
Guys, I don't know.
Darn. I don't know what I don't get know. Something.
So, what can you tell us about this show? I mean, can you...
What do you want to know?
What has been your favorite episode? This is your favorite episode.
This was my favorite episode.
And what has been your favorite scene to act?
I mean...
You stole my question. That was my question.
My favorite scene...
Was it Lester?
It might have been. And that makes me feel like such a predator because he's my friend and I adore him and everything. But I think that it surprised both of us that it kind of was as sweet as it was. And I don't think either of us expected it to go down that way. But Leslie, who directed this episode, directed, and then I
did
told
you guys end up going out on a few dates after this?
No. But she directed.
Because it was really sweet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's awesome. But she directed Now and Then, which is
a girl favorite. I can't believe
it. And I geeked out on her. Because did you have that soundtrack? I mean,
I have it.
Devon Sawa, when he goes skinny dipping with his brothers in that movie. And they're like, come on.
When you had mentioned that movie, I was like, I can't believe I don't own that one. I'm going to totally
I feel like
that.
I did, but it like got maybe worn down and destroyed. Because I like I had it on VHS or something.
I feel like I had it on VHS.
I remember my CD, like the container. Had broken because I had opened. I had just listened to it so many times. And anyway, but she's awesome, and so that's what made that my favorite episode and probably scene.
On set, is it pretty laid back or is it?
Yeah, this was a really awesome group of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lizzie and Michael, who were obviously the leaders of our show, are both great people and casual and fun, and obviously take their job seriously because their performances are terrific on the show.
They are. Michael is so serious, and he's taken on other... He was my favorite in the Twilight series, Aro. He had such short moments
on it.
But he was so good, and he was such a curious little vampire because he thought, you know, he was intrigued by all of the, you know, things going on.
He's pretty fancy. I mean, he has the Order of the British Empire. That's when the Queen is like, you're good at what you do, and gives you know, I don't know, a ribbon or something. And, you know, I talked to him.
A ribbon?
It. Yeah, from the Queen.
Sweet.
He has that?
Yeah, he's a.
Does he wear it on set all the time?
I asked, I was like, where's it? Where? Yeah. 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 I think I'm sure it's like in a case or something somewhere. Like a fireproof case. I don't know. It's like the step before knighthood. So.
Right.
So he's almost there. He's almost there. It's the knighthood.
I love him.
Almost there, Michael.
I love that he's like douchey on the show, but I know that's, you know, his just great acting.
He's just a really gifted actor and a really good person. And as is Lizzie. And what's so cool for her, I think, is because we've all seen her work and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
To be doing a sort of really different turn for her has
this
been
this is a huge
really
turn.
Yeah.
When I first saw it, I couldn't get what she's done before. I couldn't get her previous workout. I'm like, how is the...
Now I feel like it would be impossible to watch her do anything else and not think about this performance. I think she's amazing on it. So.
Exactly.
I always think of Mean Girls when she's in there.
I know.
She was in Mean Girls?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was the goth best friend.
Mm-hmm. The one that...
the artist.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh, she was so young. She must be still really young.
She is young. Yeah.
She is young.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I knew that. Okay. Now, what do you think what was the biggest hurdle you had to prepare for to get ready for your role for Jane?
I did a lot of research on what was being talked about, what about sex was being talked about at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like what books had been written at that time, what people knew and thought about sex at that time. And because I think Jane is interested in the actual booky side of it, that was something I wanted to look into. And it's really interesting what Freud was saying about, you know, they got into that a couple episodes, I think, ago.
And yeah, Roy you know is our Freud expert.
Apparently.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. What do you know? Ask away.
I sat in a library and I took out books and, you know, read, you know, the second sex parts of it and did all that stuff. And I think it sucks. It wasn't... People didn't know, I think, what the female body was capable of. They probably knew, but it wasn't talked about. And
well, I think it's interesting that scientists are still wondering why women orgasm, because there's no real, you know, there's no conclusion to that. So
it's is like, that true?
There's no like men orgasm, and then they release sperm, which create, you know, is essential for creating a baby, right?
But don't we like constrict and that
we do
helps them along? I don't know.
It does help them along, but it's not enough. Like it's just there's no real anything, and I don't think that it matters that there's not any because
oh, you're saying like there's no purpose for
there's
it.
There's no purpose. You know,
yeah, there is. It's our happiness.
It's our sanity. Yeah. It is our sanity.
Thank God.
Stop asking. I know. I'm like, scientists, stop asking. It makes me nervous that you keep trying to figure that out.
Trying to get rid of it. That's probably what they're trying to do. Get rid of it. You know.
Stop asking.
I know, right? Oh, God.
Now, how do you feel like your life has changed now after the show? Because you guys recorded in February, right?
We started shooting, we did the pilot a year before we started shooting the actual series. Oh. So we did that, and then that was in March, and then it was not until this past January that we started shooting the series, and then we finished in late May.
Wow. And so do you feel like you've gotten more, do people recognize you?
They do, which is crazy. Like, I was out with a guy at a bar, and some chick comes up to me and is like, is this you?
You're like,
but it's, I mean, it's
yes, this happens to me all the time. Sorry, my date. You are dating a celebrity.
You're like, why, yes, it is me. They, like, wanted to take pictures, and I was like, oh. I wasn't like that.
You're like, in the next round's on you, right?
That's terrible. I was not like that. I'm painting myself as a douchebag. It's only partially true.
Hey, enjoy it, you know?
No, but it's just, it has never really happened to me before, and I told Lizzie about it, and she's like, oh, that's so annoying, and I was like, oh, I think it's kind of awesome. Because she gets recognized, you know, all the time, and, you know, I'm sure by now
she's over
it. I
feel like it's part of the package, you know, right? Being an actress.
Well, it's also flattering because people don't come up to you and say, is this you? You suck at your job. People come up to you and they're like, is this you? I love the show. Or they want to ask you about it. And
oh, Jane is one of my favorite personalities, and I'm not just saying that because you're here. I didn't say that to Rose, although I really enjoyed her in person. You know, I was like, Rose, you say all the things I want to say to guys.
Yeah, she's awesome, too. Yeah.
She was amazing, but I love Jane on the show. I think she adds a lot of spunk, and it's fun. And
yeah, it was really fun to go to work because I know that they dealt with a lot of really heavy stuff on a day-to-day basis, and to go in and be able to do the scenes and, you know, basically wore yellow the entire time.
That's true. Your character really did wear yellow every time.
Yellow pretty much all the time.
Now, did you do anything with your voice? Because your voice sounded a little bit different.
I did. I think I was conscious of the fact that it was the 1950s, and if you watch movies at that time, people talk differently. Mm-hmm. And it just felt to me that she would sort of be this kind of prim, I don't know. Yeah. So I did do a little bit of that.
Lizzie speaks differently. She said that she went through a whole articulate, you know, she's like, you know, I'm much more laid back. I'm not.
She is.
You know,
she
she's is. Like, you know, and I tried to take on a very stern and
I think
posture.
Everybody was aware of the period. I think the time period was something that we all sort of were very, aware of.
And do you feel like you'll end up, you know, going into more roles? Like, I know right now you're committed to doing Broadway in New York for the next year. So
yeah,
do you think
I do a major voice for that one.
What is it?
I'm not, no, I can't do that.
Okay. You're like, no.
I don't want to give it away for free.
Oh, okay.
I don't
know.
It's just embarrassing is why I won't do it.
Okay, so you're signed on to do Broadway. Did you, is musical theater part of your, you know, your dream list and things you wanted to do?
Yeah, I went to college for musical theater at the University of Michigan, and this particular show is kind of a giant dream come true, just working with people whom I've admired my entire childhood and then also into adulthood, and to be in the room with them now, working with them and with Woody Allen and Susan Stroman and Brooke Szczmanskis and all these amazing people. And it's sort of one of those pinch me moments. That sounds so cheesy, and I hate putting it that way. Like,
you'd
my dream came true, but my dreams came true.
My dreams are coming true right now. But it's
so I feel very lucky. I mean, this job was a dream come true also, and it's just been a really nice year. So
what is it that you like doing more? Do you like doing Broadway musicals, or do you like being on camera?
Naked.
Jenna likes being naked. That's her favorite. I don't have an answer for that. I people ask me all the time because I think it's really lucky to jump in between the two and to jump between the two cities, to be here and to be in New York. I think the, again, really cheesy answer for that is I just really like to work with people who want to create and people who are open. And
you're definitely doing that. You're going in that pathway for sure. That's awesome.
Well, it's been really nice. And, you know, as opposed to, you know, sort of fitting into some sort of a box or being what people expect you to be or do or something like that. So, and that was what was great about this show, was that everybody was so open to what people were doing on a day-to-day basis and just gave me all these silly things to say.
Now, did you have any anxiety about signing a one-year contract after this Broadway, knowing that Masters of Sex was going to close? So after that, there might be more possible acting roles, or do you think you'll be able to dabble in that as well?
I think I'll be able to do, I think I'll be able to spread my schedule pretty thin. Yeah. That is my plan. My plan is just to be exhausted for the next, hopefully, while.
Yeah. But a good kind of exhausted.
Yeah, I think that, you know, things in life, and this is just, you know, things in life come, and to grab hold of them
get
as they
while
come.
Get it it's hot, girl.
Get it while it's hot, and grab hold of them as they come, mm-hmm. and just enjoy every moment and every job and everything as an actor that you can, because oftentimes we'll go through years or without working. And to be given awesome opportunities is, you know, so...
I love it. That is such a Miss America speech.
I know, but, like, done not very articulately. Yeah. Again, like, really cheesy. I apologize.
It was good. It was good.
I like it.
Inspiration.
But like my life, so it's good. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. No, you know, it's true. I feel like that's a very, you know, human response to what's happening.
Well, it's nice, good thing, too, because you, so many times, like, you guys do great stuff for a living. Like, this is so fun. It's not like you,
so
you know.
So much fun.
Yeah, definitely.
It's so depressing when you're out with somebody or you meet somebody, or especially in New York, and you ask what they do, and they say, oh, I do this. And you say, oh, that's sort of interesting. They're like, no, it's not. It's boring, and they hate it. And you're like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
Sorry. Yeah.
You know, 9 to 5 every day or longer doing something that you can't stand.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's... Well, let us wrap up with our predictions.
Oh, yeah.
So we do predictions at the end of every episode.
A UFO's going to come get us right now. So.
Wow.
It gets theatrical in here. Yeah. We like it. So, Roya, what do you think is going to come up?
Well, I think Dr. Masters is definitely going to go downhill. He's going to show his emotions a lot more on his sleeve for Virginia. And Libby is definitely going to find out. Because she's going to try and play secretary for him, and
they still got one
out.
More baby to go. She ain't finding out.
It's going to happen. Season 2.
Okay. Elena, do you have any predictions?
Well,
on
I know what happened, so that's not fair.
So Roy is right. It's what you're trying to say, right? That's awesome.
I'm not taking sides like you know, with your team masters. Whatever,
T-shirts are coming, okay?
T-shirts.
And you're going to want one.
Oh, send me a T-shirt. I will wear it to bed.
All right, and I think that we will, it sounded like they were playing romantic music in the previews. I feel like we're headed towards some pretty tender moments.
Real quick, Ethan is, again, thinking about getting married with Virginia.
Why can't I find a guy like that? I cannot.
He's too quick. He's too quick. Do you guys not think that's not too quick?
You don't find these guys, they find you, girl.
Oh,
and they stalk you.
I'm so exhausted waiting. All right, another episode. Anyways, that is it. That's all we have for this episode, ending on the most positive note possible. Thank you so much, Helena, for coming
thank
in.
You.
Absolutely beautiful and delightful. And we were just very excited to have you, so thank you. Yeah. And where can people find you on Twitter?
At Helena York.
Okay.
And then I'm also Helena York on Instagram.
Okay.
And I don't have Facebook because that thing is crazy.
It's crazy.
Who can keep up with that?
Get your life back and get off of Facebook.
Well,
get
no, everything's linked. Together, so you just do one and it sends to all of them.
God,
you
know? Is it? I don't know anything.
And you
I haven't
can
been
poke
on it 2.5
people
years.
On Facebook. I sound like a real creep over here.
That's you, creepy.
This whole episode,
creepy.
Right?
Kind of being a little creepy. Where can they find you, Roya?
I'm on Twitter at Hey Roya, and I'm also on Instagram at Hey Roya.
Okay, cool. Very easy. And I'm at Genitime Tweets. And thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you next time. Please be sure to let us know what you think about the show in the YouTube comments and on iTunes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Woo!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later! The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.